remain standing for the reading of the Word of God. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter 11. John, chapter 11. We'll read verses 39 through 45 together. We'll read this passage responsively. John, chapter 11, verses 39 through 45. John chapter 11, verses 39 through 45. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him, and let him go." And let's finish on verse 45 together. Ready? Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Thank you for thinking of a place called church. Lord, I don't understand how people in the world can survive without going to church. That's all they do is survive. They really aren't understanding life. Father, please use our preacher today. Lord, we stand before you needy. We stand before you sinful. We've sung about you. We've read your word, and now we get to hear it preached to us and taught to us. Fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts, our lives. Change someone's eternity because of it, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning, I'm going to discuss with us the greatest thing that one human being could do for another. There would be possibly many opinions as to what that is. I don't think that I'll use my opinion. I think I'd like to borrow God's. I'm going to tell you about the greatest act of love that one human could do toward or give to another human being. I'm going to tell you this morning probably the greatest way that you could serve God, and it's something that every one of us can and should do. I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why I think that this is an exciting church, and I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why this is not a dead church. I believe, as you read this morning in John chapter 11, you see the story of Jesus and a friend of his by the name of Lazarus. Lazarus had been sick. The day comes, though, that Lazarus dies. Mary and Martha, these are associates, family of Lazarus, they had contacted Jesus before the death of Lazarus, and they said, "You need to come quick, or Lazarus is going to die." Well, Jesus was not able to come immediately like they wanted. He had a reason for it. We never have to question God's timing. God's always on time. Well, Jesus shows up. Lazarus had died. And when Jesus arrives there, they had already had the viewing for Lazarus, and family had come by and viewed the body. They had already taken that trip down to the cemetery, and they had buried him, put him in a tomb. And Jesus, when he arrives in town, he says to them, "Where is he buried?" And they take him to where that Lazarus' body was laying. Or I've been there for days. And he said, Lazarus is going to get up out of the grave. And somebody said, "You don't understand, Jesus. He's been in that tomb now. He's been in his grave for 4 days. He now stinketh." Well, I can say something about that right there. Some of you smell bad and you're not even dead yet. And so I don't know what that had to do with it. But they said he's been in that grave for 4 days. He now stinketh. And he said, but no, he's going to come forth from the grave. The Bible says that they rolled back the stone. That would have been the lid on the coffin, if you will. And Jesus prays to God. And Jesus, in his prayer, he says, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says when he calls for Lazarus to come forth from the grave, Lazarus to come forth from the dead, that Lazarus gets up out of the grave and he is resurrected unto life. It says in John 11:44, it says, and he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Wow, what a miracle. What a miracle. And just so you know, if the Bible says it happened, it happened. That's exactly what took place. Just to be there must have been an awesome and incredible thing. Can you imagine being there the day that Lazarus comes forth from the grave? Can you imagine getting to watch Jesus say, move that stone, he prays, Lazarus comes out. Now you say, oh, that would have been fantastic. I would have ran up and shaken Lazarus's hand. Not me, buddy. By the time that dead guy came forward, I'd probably been hiding behind a tree. That dead people coming back to life stuff, that's a little bit scary to me. But there it really happened. He came forth from the grave. How exciting. How incredible. Wouldn't it be something if you or I could see someone resurrected from the dead? Wouldn't it be exciting if somebody that was dead could be brought back to life? Wouldn't it be something if we could see someone that had been in a grave come up out of that grave and see them come back to life? You know, what fun I could have if I could raise people from the dead. Well, what fun it could be. I could go down to the graveyard and just think of how much fun I could have at the graveyard. I can think of some people right now. I'd go get them and bring them back. I could think of a few that I wouldn't. I can think of a few that I'd like to put there. Can you imagine being a funeral crasher? I mean, you can walk in and do your thing and the funeral's over. Hey, you know what I'd like to do? This week, I'd like everybody here, I'm going to give you a charge as your pastor. Everybody here, every single person here, I'm going to give you an assignment. I want you to raise somebody from the dead. You say, impossible. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, no, it's not. Every single born-again Christian in this house, I challenge you to bring somebody back from the dead. I challenge you to go resurrect a dead person. You know, we often say, by your influence, you could change somebody's life. And I believe that. You and I, we could influence people and we could change their life. But today, I want to tell you that by your influence, you could change somebody's death. You could change somebody's death. My lesson this morning is called this. I'm going to teach you how to raise somebody from the dead. I'm going to give you a resurrection for idiots. I'm going to teach you what you can do to get somebody up out of the grave. I'm going to show you how you can help somebody come back from the dead. You have to listen to me now and listen very carefully. Let me say number one. When God created man, he created him to be a three-part being. You've heard me, those of you who've been in the church for a while, you've heard me teach this before. It's worth listening to again. I said, when God created man, he created man to have three parts. Man is a three-part being. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There we see in one verse all three parts of man. Man is made up of a body, man is made up of a soul, and man is made up of a spirit. We could do a Bible study on all three, and I could show you the creation of the body over and over and over again in the Scripture. I could show you the references to the soul of man over and over and over again in the Scripture. I could show you the spirit of man. Now remember, there's two spirits. There is the Spirit of God, but man has a spirit as well. And so God said, I'm going to create man with a body, with a soul, and with a spirit. Now, let me briefly remind you of something. Your body. Now, your body, it is what the other two parts live in. Your soul and your spirit, they're in your body. My body is right now the transporter of my soul and my spirit. My body is the one that moves my soul and my spirit around. Now, my soul is the part of me then that communicates with people. I'm using my soul to communicate with you right now. Now it is the spirit is the part of you that communicates with God. So I have a body, I have a soul, I have a spirit. My body is the home of my soul and my spirit. My soul helps me to communicate with people, my spirit helps me to communicate with God. Now listen, the Bible says in Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Here, we see the word us and our. We go back before man was created. God was talking to someone. There was a conversation going on. The Godhead was having a conversation. The Trinity was having a conversation. And God said, let us make man in our image. Man was created in the image of God. Now, if you know anything about the Bible teaches that our God is a three-part God. He's one God, but he has three parts. We call it the Trinity. That prefix, tri, T-R-I, that equals three. Our God is a three-part God. He is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's one God. If I could, he has three personalities, maybe. That's not, you said, nothing. I have two myself. I realize that. But God, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's a three-part God. They said, let's create man in our image. Okay, that's why God created man, three parts, body, soul, spirit. It's equivalent to, if you will, as the same number of parts as there is in our triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You've heard someone compare God to an egg. You have the white. You have a shell, you have a yolk. And so you've got shell, white, and yolk. One egg, three parts. A God, one God, three parts. A man, three parts. Now, there are three parts, and I'll tell you what, I want to introduce you, if I can, to those three parts. Brother Edwards, put your Bible down there. I want you to come up. You're going to be the body. Okay, you're going to be body. Okay, here's the body. Here's the body. Now I'm going to need a soul. Brother Young, you come up here. I want you to be the soul for a little while. Brother Edwards, take just a little step back there. Good. Brother Young, you come stand here. So everybody has a body. Everybody has a soul. And Brother Bush, you come up here and you're going to be the spirit. So every one of you have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. All humans, no matter how old they are, no matter how young they are, no matter how dumb they are, no matter how smart they are, no matter how rich they are, no matter how poor they are, they all have a body, they all have a soul, and they all have a spirit. Now, when man sinned, his spirit died. This is point number two. When man sinned, his spirit died. Genesis 2:17 says this, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God told Adam and Eve, they said, you are not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that day thou shalt surely die. If God tells you, you shall surely die. Let me explain that to you. You shall surely die. surely die. You're going to die. Now, Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We've all heard this historically taught, and if you've been in church at all, you've heard about Adam and Eve. They took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and set the human race into a terrible spiritual tailspin and caused all sorts of grief. But they did eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, they ate of the tree, but here's what happened. Their body went on. Everybody knows their body went on. You find them having conversations, and their body went on. Their soul went on. Remember, their body houses their soul and their spirit. Their soul is the part that communicates with man. You find out that after they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam spoke to Eve. They end up talking to children and having children, and so the body stayed alive, and the soul stayed alive. What died? The spirit. Their spirit died. Spirit, die. Good. Spirit, come back to life just long enough to scoot over this way. Okay. We'll give him these flowers, and we've planted him. Oh, my. Got a dead spirit here. The spirit's dead. Hey, listen, I want to warn you. If you say, well, I thought I'd go out there to that Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church today, just see what's going on, and you're a guest today, oh, maybe you're a church member. But if you're not saved, you have a living body, you have a living soul, but you have a dead spirit inside you. You have a dead spirit. You see, if you're unsaved, that dead spirit that's living inside your body, everywhere you go, you have the weight of that dead spirit to drag around with you. If you're lost, you're dragging that dead spirit around with you, and that's why some of you're looking for something, you're searching for something. You say, I've got to have something. I mean, life, this really isn't what life is all about. I'll tell you, I remember when I got saved and got my spirit where it ought to be. It changed my entire life. But understand, first of all, number one, when God created man, He created him in three parts: body, soul, and spirit. When man sinned, his spirit died, and we see that right here. Now, you guys, you're alive, but you can go ahead and go back and be seated. Spirit, you just stay dead. You just stay dead. Number three, everybody who is born inherits from Adam and Eve a dead spirit within themselves. Colossians 2:13 says, and you being dead in your sins. Romans 5:12 is the verse that we use when we tell people about Jesus Christ so they can get saved. The verse says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, you and I, we are the great, 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 great grandchildren of Adam and Eve. We are descendants of them. We have inherited from them a dead spirit. Our spirit is dead within us. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together and made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Adam's fall in the Garden of Eden hurt the entire human race. It didn't keep them from having living bodies. It did not have bodies. It didn't keep them from having a living body. They had a soul, but they had a dead spirit. So, stay with me. We said, number one, when God created man, he made him in three parts: body, soul, and spirit. When Adam sinned, his spirit died. Everybody who has been born inherits from Adam that sinful nature which has created or caused us to have a dead spirit. Now, stay with me. Number four, when people get saved, their dead spirit is brought back to life. When you get born again, when you trust Christ as Savior, when you get saved, your dead spirit is brought back to life. Your dead spirit is resurrected. John chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, it says, this is that world-famous scripture, the conversation between Jesus and a man by the name of Nicodemus. And in it, this is what is said. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. In that conversation, was it talking about your body being born again? No, it was not. Matter of fact, that was one of the questions that was asked. Jesus had said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, you want me to climb back in my mother's body? Come up here, body. No. No. God doesn't want the human race to go back into the mother of their belly and be born again. That is not what we're talking about. And Nicodemus asked the question, said, Jesus, you want me to be born again of my mother? And he said, no, there's something inside you that's dead. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and you have a dead spirit in you, and you must get it born again. Thank you, body. Thank you very much. You see, when people get saved, their dead spirit is brought back to life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 6 says, and hath raised us up together and made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That verse is in reference to salvation. Hath raised us up. Why? Because we were dead and we had to be raised by Christ Jesus. Salvation is someone getting spiritually resurrected. You get saved, your body's alive, your soul's alive, your spirit's dead. The moment you trust Christ as Savior, this is what happens. Spirit, come on up. The Spirit comes back to life. We just seen a resurrection. Something came back from the dead. Thank you, Spirit. You can keep your flower there. You may need it. I may kill you again in a little while. Listen, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. This is talking of salvation. The word quickened there is a word meaning life has been added. You see, you had a dead spirit, you needed to be quickened. Life needed to be added to you so you could be resurrected from the dead. Soul winning is actually spiritually raising people from the dead. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 6 says, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Soul winners are grave robbers. Soul winners are grave robbers. Soul winners could put the spiritual undertakers out of business. When somebody is witnessed to, and that somebody trusts Jesus Christ as personal Savior, the moment they trust Christ, you are witnessing a resurrection. And so you know it is a more important resurrection than a physical resurrection. Maybe we could get somebody up physically. Mr. Body, come over here. If you would gently die, would you? Die. This is a body. That body is dead. He's down. Now listen, I might get his body up. I might get this body up. But body, let's work together on this thing. Okay, the body's up. We just helped the body get up. But there's only one problem. If I help get the body up, I still have a problem. If there is a dead spirit, this body will still die and go to hell and burn for all eternity. So if I had to choose between raising a body or raising a spirit, it is more important, more dynamic, more influential to get the spirit raised than to get the body raised. Thank you, Mr. Body. Soul winners are grave robbers. Soul winners are people that go to the ultimate problem that man faces, and they solve man's primary problem. Lost people are walking around with death on the inside of them. And guess what? You're more important, Christian, than a doctor. Now thank God for a doctor that might keep this body alive long enough for me to get the spirit born again, but I'm going to tell you something. You didn't have to go to school for 18 or 10 or 12 years, however long it takes a doctor. You don't have to go to school that long to make a difference. You can help somebody get resurrected today. See, when people get saved, their dead spirit is brought back to life. When people get saved, their dead spirit comes to life and they experience victory over a grave. I love Easter, Resurrection Sunday. I love it. And it, just so you know, it's not really all about the puppy guy with the big ears that, you know, gives us candy. He works for the dentist, so you know. We all enjoy Easter and we talk about the resurrection. We celebrate it, and I'm glad we do. We have an Easter Sunday and have an Easter cantata and a candy hunt and all of that. But we don't celebrate around here just once a year. We celebrate it all the time. But can I tell you all something? When we celebrate Easter, we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But can I tell you? You should be able to celebrate your own resurrection. That was the day that you were dead in your trespasses and sin, and you trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, you were a part of a resurrection. J.V. Elswick was resurrected spiritually. Mike Bajan was resurrected spiritually. Chris Edwards was resurrected spiritually. Rick Young was resurrected spiritually. Craig Bush was resurrected spiritually. You say, I'll tell you what, Brother Owens, it would be fantastic if we could just have Easter Sunday all the time. We can. We can, we can, we can. I have a personal day of resurrection where I was dead in my sin. God saved me. My spirit came alive. I have been resurrected from the dead. And if you're born again, you have been resurrected from the dead. But guess what? There's a lost and dying world that needs a resurrection. A resurrection. Three friends die. They're in a car accident. They all get to heaven and God calls a meeting. They're all asked, when you're in your casket down there, and in just a few days, your friends and family are mourning you, what would you like to hear them say about you? Well, the first guy says, well, I'd like to hear them say that I was a great doctor and a great family man. God said, that's good. Okay. The second guy says, well, what I'd like to hear him say that I was a successful husband and a Christian school teacher, which made a huge difference in our children's tomorrow. God said, that's good. The third guy, he says, I would just like to hear him say, look, he's moving. You know something? When those of us that are born again go out among the people of the world, they're dead. Oh, they've got a living body and a living soul, but I'm going to tell you something, there's something dead. You know what? I would like the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church every day to go to what would be, if you would, a cemetery of dead spirits, win people to Christ, and be able to all constantly be saying, look, he's moving. Look, he's moving. Look, she's moving. Look, he was dead. She's moving. He's moving. That bus kid's moving. Hey, that Sunday school, that student of mine, he's moving. Hey, the person I just met down at the grocery store, they were dead. They're alive. Hey, she's moving. You see, we're to be telling others about Jesus Christ. Let me go on. Number five. Raising people from the dead is a responsibility of all Christians. Raising people from the dead is a responsibility of all Christians. the Bible, one of the verses from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30, it says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life." We're getting him up. A tree of life. "And he that winneth souls is wise." You say, what's that? What's it mean? I thought we were winning the Spirit. No. Your attitude, your communication with people is what helps you to get them spiritually born again. See, I've got my body. My body just carries my soul and my spirit around. My soul is a part of me that talks with people and communicates with people. I use my soul to get along with them so I convince them to get spiritually born again. The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Hey, some people say, well, I believe there's one person out there that I should help get saved, and if I do, I fulfilled God's purpose for my life. The Bible says that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, not one piece of fruit off the tree. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. You ought to be winning people to the Lord so that they get spiritually born again. That's one of the wisest things you could do. Number one, it will make you wiser. Number two, it is a wise thing to do. You heard me say this earlier. I said, I'm going to tell you today what you could do. I think the greatest expression of love on the face of the earth. Let me tell you. If somebody's going to die and go to hell and spend their entire eternity in hell, and you give them a piece of candy, I'm glad. If you give them a pair of shoes, I'm for it. If you feed them, I'm for it. If you're kind to them, I'm for it. But you can do all of that and go ahead and not tell them about Jesus, and they will die and go to hell. But wait, the same person, you might not have fed them, you might, I don't know, maybe you didn't give them a hamburger, maybe you didn't give them a piece of candy, maybe you didn't give them a pair of shoes, but you did win them to Jesus Christ, and they got spiritually born again. When they die, they'll go to heaven. You tell me what's most important. If we really believe there is a heaven, and there is, if we really believe there is a hell, and there is, we had better express love in the greatest way possible, and that's keeping people out of an eternal, burning, real fire. It's helping them to get resurrected from the dead. I said the greatest act of love from one to another. I said the greatest thing that one human being could do for another. I said the greatest way to serve God. I'm for all the things that you and I do for the Lord. I'm for it. I'm for every little bit of it. But nothing can take the place of helping the dead spirit to come alive through sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. We said this. We said, when God created man, he created him to have three parts, body, soul, and spirit. We then said, man sinned, and that sin caused his spirit to die. Then, we said, everybody who is born inherits from Adam and Eve a dead spirit within themselves. We then said, number four, when people get saved, their dead spirit is brought back to life. It is equivalent to a resurrection. We then said, raising people from the dead is the responsibility of all Christians. You know, the Bible says in Mark 16:15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That ye right there says, go ye. Say, who was that ye? That's ye you and ye me. The ye's us. It's all born again people. There are a lot of reasons why Jesus Christ came to this earth, but let me assure you, Luke 19:10 makes it very, very clear why Jesus came. The Bible says that, why Jesus came. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." Now, body, soul, and spirit, stand up here for a minute. Body, you come over here. Soul, you come over here. Spirit, die. Hey, listen. I do believe that Jesus Christ came, and I think he was a blessing to the body. I think as a Christian, God can do things for the body. I think God has an interest in the body. I don't think God wants harm to the body. And I think God wants to feed the body. I think the soul, that's our relationships in life. I think God's interested in relationships. I think God wants husbands and wives to get along. And I think God wants Christians to get along. And I think kids ought to get along with their parents, and the communication between people that the soul's a part of. I think that's very important to God. And I think the body's important to God. The Bible tells you, you better be careful what you put in your body and how you treat your body and what you do with your body. It is the temple of God. It's where God lives. Hey, body, you're important to God. Hey, soul, you're important to God. But God did not primarily come for that body. God did not primarily come for that soul. God primarily came and He said, man has a dead spirit. I want to be with man in eternity, and that man can't get to heaven unless he gets born again. If somebody would have said, Jesus, boil this thing down, bottom line it, why did you come? He said, I came to get the spirit of man born again. Born again. All sorts of churches will spend all their time on the body. I'm not against doing things for the body. I'm for doing things for the body. All sorts of churches, it's nothing except the relationship between man and man. There's something more important than your body. There's something more important than all your emotions and all your connections with people. There is the spirit of man that communicates with the spirit of God. The most important relationship to have mended in life is your relationship between you and your God. It's not done through the body. It's not done through the soul. It's got to be done through the resurrection of the Spirit, so you then can communicate with God, and then God will lead you what to do with your body. God will lead you in how you're to treat people and get along with people. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The dead spirit, he's got to get it resurrected. You know, everybody is to care about it. Again, thank you, men. Spirit, resurrect. I hate Boston people dead and alive all morning long, but somebody's got to do it. Now, some of you young Christians, you might think, yes, sir, Brother Owens, that's why we pay the church staff. Oh, no. No, that's not taught anywhere in the Bible. I don't win people to Jesus Christ because I'm the pastor. I win people to Jesus Christ because I'm a Christian, because I'm saved. You see, it's not just the church staff's job. It's not just that there are lots of people in our church. You know, as you grow in the Lord, we get the opportunities to grow into more influential positions in the church. And we do require, if you get a leadership role in the church, that you are telling people about Jesus Christ. You've got to be a soul winner. You've got to be telling people about Jesus. Say, what's the big deal? It's the biggest deal, my friend. Who told you there's something bigger than keeping somebody out of hell? Maybe the only reason God kept you sucking air and feeding your gut is because you're supposed to be telling somebody about Jesus Christ. He did not keep you alive for your body. He did not just keep you alive for your soul. He's worried about somebody getting spiritually born again. But see, it's not just for the pastor. It's not just for the assistant pastor or the bus director. It's not just for a Sunday school teacher. It's not just for a bus captain. You say, well, that's for the spiritual leadership of the church. It is for every born-again Christian. Every born-again Christian is to participate in this thing called soul winning, witnessing, keeping people out of hell. And you can't pay somebody to do it for you. I thank God we support missionaries and we want to help them. But if you think that you can support a missionary and that takes the pressure off of you for the one you're to help get born again, I'm sorry, you can't do that. You can't do that. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. What's God? God's telling us here, we're all to go. Well, now, we may not all go to the mission field. We'll have lots that will. But you do have a mission field. It's where you work. It's where you go to school. It's where you shop. You need to stop and realize something. While you're out there, you see living bodies, living souls, but tucked inside the two is a dead spirit, and it's time for you to help us have some resurrections. Some resurrections. You know, there's some of you, you used to be in the dead raising business. Remember back when you used to win souls? Remember back when you used to come soul winning? Remember back when you used to be in the bus ministry? Remember back when you were in Bible college? Back when you loved the Lord enough to inconvenience yourself in 100-degree weather? Let me tell you something. 100-degree weather is nothing compared to hell, and it's going to be burning in all eternity. Did you used to participate in the resurrection ministry of the dead? Let me say this, number six. Our church is an exciting place because of all the people that are being raised from the dead. It's exciting when people get raised from the dead. I think it was exciting when Lazarus came up out of that grave. I can't imagine. I'm going to guess his family were thrilled. I mean, when Mary and Martha, and there were other family members there, I'm sure, they're the ones that said he smells bad. He's been in the grave for 4 days. That meant they doubted what was really going to happen. Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. Everybody was excited about that except for the beneficiary of the life insurance policy. But when Lazarus came forth, I'm sure somebody said, wow, this is exciting. Hey, somebody, there were doubters that didn't even show up down at the graveside when Jesus said, take me down there, I'm going to get this guy out of the grave. A bunch of the family said, not me, I'm not going down there, I'm not wasting my time. I'm sure some little 8th grader, some little 7th grader, they seen the resurrection and hightailed it to Grandma and Grandpa's house and said, you're not going to believe it. He's up. Uncle Laz, he's up. I mean, he's walking around and it's incredible. It was exciting. I promise you, the day that Jesus Christ, the day He was resurrected from the dead, it was exciting. It was an exciting day. The angels were excited. Now, the soldiers that were guarding His tomb, they were not quite as excited because they knew they were in big trouble. They were told to keep Him down. Hey, how unfair of a boss. The boss says to these two soldiers, the Son of God's in that grave. He may not come out. I'm sure those guys, the next morning when Jesus came out of the grave, they were there to see their union steward immediately. A grievance of ridiculous responsibility. Beyond man. And yes, indeed, it was beyond man. Nobody's going to keep Him from coming up out of that grave. And to this very day, we're still celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Churches everywhere are talking about the resurrection of Lazarus. Oh, how exciting. You see, it's exciting somewhere if resurrections are taking place. It's exciting. Got to tell you this story. Man told me this, lived by himself. He said one day he caught a mouse. Well, he's seen a mouse had been eating his crackers and things like that. Any man here knows. If they're good crackers, you no need in sharing them. So a mouse had been getting into his crackers and gnawed through the box in a little plastic thing, and he decided he's going to catch that mouse, and lo and behold, he caught it. He caught it alive. He thought, you know what? I think it seems to me like that's probably a Navy mouse. You know, anchors away, he said, I think I'll give him a Navy burial. Took him to the white throne of grace. Popped him in there. Pulled the cord. Thought it was over. About an hour later, decided that he would go and read. After reading a portion of a chapter, all of a sudden, he realized the mouse had been resurrected. It was alive. And let me tell you, he said, I was resurrected too. I got up from where I was. Resurrections are exciting. Let me read a passage of Scripture to you and listen to this very carefully. I want you to understand the influence of resurrection. John chapter 11, verse 48, the story of Lazarus, it says, these are the people talking after that resurrection. It says, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. There were some of the religious, political people of the day who had heard of the resurrection of Lazarus. And they said, you know what, if we leave this thing be, if word gets out of a resurrection, we're probably going to end up losing our jobs because everybody's going to find out we're fake, we're phony. We could possibly lose the nation because this religion where Christ can raise somebody from the dead it's strong enough to take over a nation. That's what they said. It could change the entire nation. Let me tell you something that would change the United States of America. You can write all the laws that you want to write. You can build all the buildings. You can build all the hospitals. You can have every financial bailout that you want to have. You can cap every leaky oil well, and I hope you do, and I hope they do. You can write laws that protect the whales and the tuna. You can keep the spotted owl safe. I'm good with that. Doesn't matter to me what you want to do with that. But let me tell you something that would change the United States of America. If the churches across America would get back to raising people from the dead, the only thing that'll save America is the salvation of the souls of the people. And America spends their time on the body, and America spends their time on the soul, but it is the dead spirit of man that will change a country. And if we want to have revival in America, it's not going to be from the White House, it'll be from the church house. And you say, I'm for it, then you need to get your house involved and get somebody out of the grave. The primary responsibility of Christians is not the body. It is not the soul. Though we do indeed have ministries to those parts, it is the spirit of man being born again. You see, soul winning ministries are exciting. They can change a nation. Our soul winning ministries are exciting. What makes our bus ministry exciting is all the people being born again. You see, that's an exciting ministry. Our children's churches are exciting. People get saved. Our altar calls are exciting. People get saved. Teenage soul winning is exciting because we're raising people from the dead. Adult soul winning is exciting. Why? We're raising people from the dead. When you hear the term dead churches, let me give you my definition of that. Dead churches are churches full of dead people. There are all sorts of churches out there where the congregation is not even saved. What's it mean? They got a living body. They got a living body. Got a living soul. But a bunch of people are spiritually dead. They're everywhere. And their ministries, if they even have them, are primarily to the body and to the soul. Dead churches everywhere. Then let me tell you about an independent fundamental Baptist church. Some of those are dead too. Why? Because some of the people that are born again in the congregation are not doing anything about the dead people of life. You and I are to be helping people not to be dead. I don't want our church to be dead. I was excited. Men's soul winning yesterday morning. Damian Segura, one of our men here in the church, and I thought he was down in the Spanish church, but he's right back here. Damian gave a testimony yesterday morning. He said it last week. He was out at the hospital, City Hospital. There was a Spanish-speaking lady that was in the hospital. Damian, I think, was it Josh Smith that was with you? Damian and Josh Smith had gone out, Spanish-speaking lady in the hospital needing some attention. Damian went out and was supposed to get in and visit, but couldn't get right in, and he was told to stay downstairs in the lobby area. Wasn't long until her family had rushed into the hospital. There's between 15 and 20 people there. 15, 20 people standing there in the lobby, they realized that Damian was there to see their loved one, and Damian realized that they were there to see their loved one. And they began to talk, and they were talking about the loved one, the lady's sickness and everything, and Damian began to talk to them about healing. It didn't take him very long to get into the plan of salvation, because that's what healing is ultimately about. And so here are 15 to 20 people. They're in the lobby. I'm not talking about a private waiting room. If you've ever been out to City Hospital, I'm talking about when you walk in and there's that little store there, and then you've got the place where the ladies check you in, check you out right there in the lobby. There are about 15 to 20 people standing there, and there's Damian. He's got his New Testament out, and he said, well, let me show you exactly what all of us need. So he took them all the way through the plan of salvation. He said, how many of you, if you died today, you don't know for a fact you'd go to heaven? He said, every one of them raised their hand and said, we don't know that we're on our way to heaven. He gave them the entire plan of salvation. And then he said, how many of you would trust Christ if he would save you right now? He said, will you raise your hand? He said, every one of them raised their hand. He said, then I guess the next thing for us to do is let's get you saved. Damien went to his knees in the lobby in front of everybody. All 15 people got on their knees right in the lobby down at City Hospital and trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And let me explain it to you. They went down dead. They came up alive. They went down dead. They came up alive. And I'm going to tell you something. You say, that's great. How many dead people have you passed by that you could have resurrected? I like that story. It's not all about the story. It's about the result of the story. You see, that's exciting. Oh, yes. Resurrections are exciting. We talk about this being one of the most exciting churches in America. It's exciting that people being saved by the thousands. I want to recommend something to you. Now, let me say this. Number 7. Bring your dead to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Bring us your dead. Bring your dead people in here. I'm probably going to regret saying that. Bring your dead people in here. Some of you have got dead family. Bring them. You've got family that need born again. This is the getting saved place. This is a spiritual resurrection church. Some of you got dead brothers or dead sisters or dead husbands or dead wives. You say, but Lord, what can I do to influence them? Get them under the sound of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's have a resurrection. So you go to work and you're with dead people all day. You're with dead people. They're not born again. All worried about the body. And the worse off they are, the more they are worried about the body. Please the body. Do something for my body. Give me that physical relationship. Give me those drugs. Give me that beer. Body, 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 body. What am I going to do for them? Let's get the spirit born again. Bring your dead. Bring your dead workmates. Bring your dead family. Bring your dead friends. Don't leave them dead. Don't leave them there. Hey, somebody can help them get resurrected. You say, I'm not a stranger. You bring your dead strangers. You say, well, I don't know how to lead someone to Jesus Christ. You bring them in here, we'll get the gospel to them, and they can get resurrected from the dead. But I have to tell you, you're going to need to learn how to tell people how to get saved. Some of you need Brother Bush host a soul winning training course every month. The first and second Sunday night of the month, you can go and learn how you could be a soul winner. Soul winning. We have soul winning on Tuesdays, and we have soul winning on Thursdays, and our bus ministry is a soul winning ministry. Bring your dead to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Now, I told you earlier, I challenge you. And I give the charge to everybody in here. Go resurrect somebody from the dead. Say, what do I have to do? Well, there's just 4 points to salvation. First of all, you have to tell them they're a sinner. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the first point. They've got to be told they're a sinner. They're a sinner. Second thing, they've got to be told there's a penalty for being a sinner. That penalty is being separated from God in eternity. Die and go to hell. That's what it means. There's a penalty for your sin. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man, that traces us back to Adam, wherefore, by as one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. See, number one, you tell them everybody's a sinner. Number two, you tell them that there is a penalty for sin. Number three, you tell them that Jesus Christ paid that penalty for them. He paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but, thank God for that conjunction right there, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It says in Romans 5:8 that God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, you just have to know that number one, everyone's a sinner. Number two, there's a penalty for that sin. Number three, Jesus Christ paid that penalty. Then all they have to do is trust Christ and ask Christ to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart and be your Savior. That's point number four. And if they'll do it, they can go to heaven someday. You take them to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13, where it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I just gave you 4 points. If you'd like to see see a resurrection and you'd like to be a part of it, you tell them they're sinners, there's a penalty for sin. Jesus paid that penalty. And if they will turn to Christ, ask Him to forgive their sins, commit to their heart, and be their Savior, at that moment, you're going to see a spirit resurrected from the dead, and you have seen something more important than Lazarus' body getting up. Time for somebody to memorize the dead-raising plan. So I've been in church for years and years and years and years. And you still don't know the plan, the key to the greatest thing that you could do as a Christian. You need to mark it in your Bible. I need people to be still now. You need to mark it in your Bible. Look right this way. You need to practice it. Say, I'm jittery about it. Stand in front of a mirror and practice it. Tell you this. And you listen well. There are people in this building, if your boss came to you and said, I'm going to get you a $500,000 raise, all you have to do is memorize 8 verses, 4 statements. You got to have it by tomorrow. Everybody in this building would have it memorized. Let me tell you, the value of a soul far exceeds $500,000. But if you thought you were going to get $500,000, you would memorize the 8 verses, you would memorize the 4 statements, you would practice it all night long, you would make sure that you had it word perfect. When He said, you step up here and you give that to me confidently, you would step up, you would quote it, you would say it exactly right, you would not fail for any reason under the world. Why? We are more interested in the benefits of the body than we are the death of the spirit. Don't let anything stop you from doing that which is most important. This morning, I have given you the challenge of how to raise somebody from the dead. Really, it's what the New Testament church is all about. It's what Christmas is all about. It's what Resurrection Sunday, Easter, is all about. Let's never lose sight of it, choir. All the songs you sing, it's what it's all about. It's what it's all about. But our Bible college, Martinsburg Christian Academy, we want to teach young people the priority of life. Oh, I'm glad for all the ministries and all the things we do for the body and all the things we do for the soul. We better just make sure we keep our eyes on the prize, which is the souls of men being born again, spiritually dead people, resurrected unto life. If you're here today and you've never been saved, I hope you'll respond during the altar call and be a resurrected person today. There's some of you say, I didn't know it. I've been doing good deeds with the body and good deeds with the soul, and I thought that was going to cover me for heaven. All the good deeds in the world won't cover you for heaven. You have to realize you have a dead spirit. You have to turn to Jesus Christ and ask Him to save you. He does all the saving. All you do is let Him. You need to be born again. There are Christians in here. You are saved. You need to understand the obligation and responsibility of resurrecting people from the dead. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question are to those that maybe you say, I never realized what salvation was. I never really understood this, Brother Owens, but today I realize my spirit has never been brought back from the dead. I've never trusted Christ as Savior. I need to be reborn. I need my spirit to be brought to life. I need a personal resurrection. Let me ask, you don't get resurrected by being baptized, you don't get resurrected by giving your money, you don't get resurrected by good deeds, you get resurrected by realizing you're a sinner. There's a penalty called hell for sinners. Jesus paid the penalty with His death, burial, and resurrection. You didn't pay any of it. Your works won't do it. You turn to Him and say, I need to be born again. I'm not bringing anything to you but a lost, dead spirit. Save me, Jesus, and He'll save you. Somebody here, you need to do that. You've never done that. Somebody's been in church all your life and you've never really understood salvation. I'm not trying to confuse anybody. I think I've made it very simple. But if you're not spiritually born again, you need to take care of it. Who here would say, Brother Owens, that's me. If I died today, I do not know for a fact. I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I need to be born again. Pray for me. That's me. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to be saved. I'm not going to play with this thing. I realize it. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? You say, I'm not saved. I need to be born again. I see that hand. You say, I'm not saved. Within me, that spirit is dead, but I want it to be alive. I didn't realize, but I want to take care of it. I'm not going to play with this thing. I'm going to get the spirit alive. Who else would raise your hand and say, that's me? I've seen adults. I've seen teenagers. I've seen children. God bless you, sir. I've seen men. I've seen women. I've seen the hands raised. Who else? I'm not saved. God bless you, ma'am. I see your hand. Who else? God bless you. I see that hand. Here's what's going to happen in a moment. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. They're going to begin to play. When they do, the choir will stand and sing. When they stand and sing, the congregation will stand. Once we're all standing with our heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're not saved, I want you to leave your seat. I want you to walk toward the front. The men that are now sitting on this platform will be standing down front on the lower level. You walk right up to them, and men, you'll need to get to your places quickly. You'll need to walk up to them and just say, I want to be saved. We'll take a Bible in a matter of just a few minutes, show you the scripture so you can get resurrected. You can get a spiritual rebirth today. Now let me turn my attention briefly to every Christian in this house. If you're saved, you're to be aiding the resurrection of others. Some of you that are backslidden, you've got the worst attitude in the world toward people, toward your church. When's the last time you won somebody to Jesus Christ? I could help you get you right with God. You don't even have to come talk to me. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Get them saved. The Spirit of God will suddenly ignite a revival inside you. But there are people in here you need to tell others about Christ. You used to be yours. It's the most important thing we could do. How many Christians would raise their hand to God and say, oh, I need a reigniting of my concern for the souls of men. I need to be a soul winner. And you'll raise your hand. There are hands all over the place. God bless you. You might need this altar. Somebody may need to rededicate their life to the souls of men and getting people saved. I'm going to ask the